Have fun. Some of y'all should try laughing. Let's go over to 2 Kings. Never a dull moment, I'm going to tell you that right now. Look, if you don't like playing, I don't know what to tell you. Because I play way too much. It's good to laugh. It's good to enjoy life. Right? Amen. Unbelief, I'd write this down. Unbelief expressed takes authority in your heart and reigns in your emotions. Unbelief expressed takes authority in your heart and reigns in your emotions. Unbelief expressed takes authority in your heart and reigns in your emotions. Amen. Another one, I got it the other day. It says, the world is constantly bombarding us with doubt and unbelief based on all the natural facts, right? If we are not purposefully building our faith over the course of time, then we will begin to accept what our five physical senses as truth. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's pretty good.
Amen.
So going over here to 2 Kings, did I tell you all to go there?
Yes, sir.
Thank God we made it there. Let's go to chapter 4 then. We'll start about verse 20. Say amen when you get there, please. Says, and we had taken him and brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon, and then what?
Died.
Yep. And she went up and laid him on the bed of who?
The man of God.
It's amazing that she didn't go to her neighbor's house. She didn't go to her friend's house. She didn't go talk to her mom about what was going on. She didn't even go talk to her best friend about what was going on. Matter of fact, she didn't even call her sister. She didn't. Or her best friend. There's some things we need to figure out that we just don't need to talk to people about. I don't care if they are your best friend. Sometimes it's best to leave them by themselves. In a good way. Saying that in a good way. Well, let's be honest. Y'all remember Dr. Jerry Savelle, don't you? Whenever his daughter was in nursery, and he was sitting on the front row listening to Brother Copeland, and he heard a scream, and they brought his daughter out. How old was she? Three, maybe? Two, three? A baby in the nursery. 18 months or a year. And the nursery worker accidentally rocked over her fingers and cut them off at the first knuckle. Bam. Just cut them right off with the rocking chair. Bow. And so they came in, and guess what he did? He started freaking out, screaming, not knowing what to do, and took out and left. I wonder if that's what a lot of us would look like. Because, see, whenever pressure comes, faith will show up, or doubt and fear will. Whichever one we've been petting the longest and feeding the most, we're about to find out real fast. So he sat there. He got his baby. Brother Copeland went over there and rebuked pain and commanded the bleeding to stop. And the pain stopped. Baby fell right to sleep in Brother Jerry's arms. And the pain stopped, obviously, because the baby fell right to sleep. So he went to the restroom. I need y'all to, you know, really listen to this story. He didn't just shoot off to the hospital yet. So he went to the bathroom, started cleaning up her hands. And while he was in there cleaning the hands, he heard a knock on the door. And he's like, come in. And he heard a lady say, Brother Jerry. He's like, yeah. The lady was like, here, these are her fingers. I think you need them. So her fingers were laying on the floor, and so she brought the fingers to him. His baby's fingers. that she just rocked over in a rocket chair. Not that she did it on purpose, right?
Yes.
And so I'm, where would we be at in that situation? You know, it's easy to talk faith. But when we in a situation, where are we at? Right? Where was she at? She didn't stutter step or nothing. She didn't hesitate. Don't allow Satan to get you to hesitate. Don't allow Satan to get you to stutter step and going, maybe she should. Once you get the plan, stay with it. Nope, I ain't stopping.
Amen.
Right? And so he washed the fingers off, everything, and then still didn't go to the hospital. He said, because now what I really need is faith. I don't need fear and doubt to start bombarding me. He said, so I came back in and sat on the front row till Brother Copeland finished preaching. Well, that's just mean to your baby. Are you sure? See, whenever you're in faith, you think different.
Yes.
You don't think like everybody else whenever you're in faith.
Amen.
Yeah, I should have got a way better amen than that.
Amen.
See, whenever you're running on the Word of God, you don't think like everybody else. There's a different mindset from us and the world. I'm telling you right now. And so if you're pacing yourself off the world and you're doing everything like the world, you need to readjust. You need to find out why am I running alongside of them, kind of mimicking, imitating them. Why? I need to step back. If I'm a Christian, I need to be mimicking this and doing what this, the Bible says, not looking like them and doing what they do. So he sat right there on the front row till Brother Copeland finished. He finished, then him and his wife went to the hospital after Brother Copeland finished preaching. So they went to the hospital and obviously went to the specialist. And the guy, he actually had a Buddhist in his office and stuff. And he told Brother Jerry Savelle, he said, well, might as well not put the fingers back on because, you know, they won't grow back or nothing like that. And Brother Jerry was like, yeah, they will. And the doctor actually told Brother Jerry's wife, he's gone into shock. He's crazy. He's gone into shock. He's talking crazy. See, faith will make you just walk out there to where people, everybody thinks you're crazy. But you stay with it. You stay with it. And so he said, you'll see. But the point of this story was whenever they put the fingers back on this baby, right? The doctor told him to come back, and he said that they went home for 3 or 6 months. I forget. You remember? Three or six months. I forget. You remember how long? It's 3 or 6 months. But they said that they locked themselves in the house. Guess who they let in their house? Important. Well, I can't believe you'd do that. Well, are you the one trying to believe for your kids' fingers, or am I? Because I can't believe. I'm so sorry. I can't believe that happened to your baby. I don't need that. I don't need that right now. Because my faith is already stretched to the max. And if somebody comes up and starts doing that kind of stuff, man, I'm already right there stretched out. I don't need this kind of stuff making me wanting to wobble.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't. And so that's why it's so important. We need to pay attention. Who are we listening to? Who are we allowing around us? Because if I'm already got my faith stretched out and I'm out there, you know, I'm already kind of stretched. You remember Brother Hagin, his wife said they've just moved in a house. She said, you know, I want some curtains. He said, well, honey, you're going to have to believe for him because I've already got my faith stretched out to the max. He said, if I put another thing on my faith will bust. And it's just drapes. But yet he knew how much his faith was already stretched. See, that's the key. See, sometimes we think we could just push our faith all the way out there to the max and just keep going. No, you keep adding stuff to your faith and you don't add nothing to your faith, it breaks. And then we start saying, well, that faith stuff don't work. No, it does. You just didn't know where to stop. You just kept trying to put stuff on your faith and didn't try to get faith, because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God, right? And so you just want to add, but not add that to get faith, right? And so Brother Hagin knew. He said, look, I know it's just drapes, but I can't put that on my faith right now. My faith is already stretched out to the max. If I hang that on my faith, it's going to bust. That was important, though. He understood where his faith was and how much he was already stretched out. See, that's an important key. We got to understand that about ourselves individually, right?
Amen.
Amen. But needless to say, doctor, they didn't let anybody else in the house. They wouldn't let people in the house that would talk like that. Anything. I don't even know if they might have let one or two people in there that they really, really trusted. But he said they wouldn't. They like locked their house down. And I, come on now. I mean, you just got to lock it up sometimes.
Amen.
Even when you see that phone number, not today, sucker. Because let's be honest. You know, you already kind of had a bad day a little bit. You know, somebody just kind of, you know, it's like, y'all know that one deal. It's like, oh, look, mom's last nerve. I want to touch it, you know. And so it's like, you got that one nerve, and then all of a sudden, this person wanting to call you. It's like Satan's just trying to set you up, and you're like, oh, man. And if you answer it, and then it just did, but, and you knew good and well, you just hit ignore. Not right now. I already know I'm kind of touchy right now. Why even answer this? We got to know where we're at, right? Amen. But she didn't stutter step. She picked him up, went straight to the man of God's bed and laid him down.
Yes, sir.
I ain't got time to just sit around here and do nothing. I'm going to put you on the man of God's bed. I'm going to get the man of God. You coming back to life. I'll be back in a minute. And so, and then she called her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon or Sabbath. And she said, And she said,
amen.
She didn't think it. She didn't think it. I said she didn't think it.
No, sir, she said it.
What'd she do?
She said it.
She said it. What does Mark 11:23 say? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you'll have them. What does 24 say? Turn over to Mark 11:23. I think I misquoted that, actually. I think I got them backwards. Let's all look at it. Mark 11:23, it says, for verily I say unto you, that who, everybody there?
Yes.
Yeah, right here, it says that whosoever does what?
Yes.
See her mountain.
Yes.
And what'd she do? She said. See right here, it says, whosoever says
yes.
Unto this. And then right here, verse 23, and she said. And she said. And then back over here, verse 23, it says, and that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. And then back over here, verse 23, in 2 Kings, and she said. And she said. And she said. God didn't say it. She said it. But she had God's promise on it.
Yes,
she knew God would do it. That's why she said it.
Yes, sir.
She said, it shall be well. What you say is your faith speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It shall be well, right? Then she shadowed. I don't know what that is. You're welcome. New word. It's kind of like saddled, but with an H. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So they went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, yonder is the Shunammite woman. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" And she answered,
"It is well.
It is well." Is it well? It is. It is well. See, regardless of what the situation looks like, you got to know it is well.
Amen.
Regardless of what everybody's trying to tell you or what the doctor says, you got to know it is well.
Amen.
It is well.
Yep.
It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" Did she say anywhere right there that my son's died?
No.
It's amazing that those words never came out of her mouth.
That's right.
Did it?
No.
Are y'all sure?
Yeah.
Some of y'all look confused. Let's read it again. Verse 29 or 28. It says, "Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" Right? That's all she said. She didn't say, "Hey, my son's dead. Good job." Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Amen. And he arose and followed her. Amen. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awakened." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. It looks like either verse 31 right there, he just says not awakened. But verse 32 right here is when it actually says the child was dead. And so it doesn't even look like Elijah knew that the child was dead until he actually seen him. Right? But all this whole time, though, the mother was not just freaking out. The only thing she said was like, "Look, I told you don't deceive me." Right? What verse? She said, "Look, did I desire a son? Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" That's all she said to him. That's it. But yet leaving, she said, "All is well. All is well." Well, how are you saying that and your son is dead? Faith. Because faith sees an answer before it has an answer.
Amen.
Well, faith has the answer before it sees the answer. Is that what I just said, but I said it twice? I don't know. Because, see, in the world that's constantly bombarding us with doubt and unbelief, it's based on all the natural facts. See, naturally, kid's dead. Naturally, the kid's dead.
Yes.
Yep. But if we're purposefully build our faith over the course of time, if we don't purposefully build our faith over the course of time, then we'll begin to accept our five physical senses as truth.
That's good.
See, she didn't accept it. She didn't accept it. I want y'all to see that. the baby, the kid is on her. Y'all remember Evie Hill? Y'all remember growing up, he said that his mom at the dinner, they'd come inside. His mom would say, all right, Evie, y'all set the table so we can eat. And he'd look at his mom like, Mom, we ain't got no food in this house. No food. She's like, set the table. See, she knew something that they didn't. Because when you live by faith, you always have your desired end result. You always see what you're believing God for. When you're walking in faith, you already got it before you have it. Right? Right? And so she said, set the table. I could care less what you can see, Evie. It's got nothing to do with what we actually have. Now set the dinner table so we can eat. See, they had to do something. No, they had to set the table. They couldn't go sit on the couch just sitting around talking about God. I can't believe you're just going to let us starve. It's amazing that God still required them to use their faith. And see, some people might be like, well, I can't believe God would just let that family starve. Don't have a husband. It's just this poor lady and her kids. But he gave her a way to feed them every single day, supernaturally. Supernaturally. But sometimes we don't even look at that. We just want to sit on the couch and just, God, well, where's it at, God? But he requires something from us called faith. But a lot of times we don't want to do that because that requires me, you know, reading the Bible. You know, and I, you know, we got TV shows to watch. What's up? And so he said they'd sit down at the kitchen table. They'd set the table and they'd sit down at the kitchen table. And he said Mom would start praying. And he said every single time they'd start hearing noise at the front door. And he said, and then Mom would go, all right, Evie, go see what's at the front door. He'd go out there. He'd say there'd be ham. There'd be green beans. There'd be collard greens. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's between you and God. Amen. You do what you want. Amen. Chelsea's, was it your grandma and grandpa or their grandma and grandpa? Your great-grandma and grandpa. Needed ice? Great-grandma and grandpa in a travel trailer or something? Or just needing ice? Driving down the highway, needing ice in the desert? Needing ice. Prayed to God because they was needing ice for something. They got paid in chickens, so they needed ice. Yeah, so they needed ice to keep the food. So they're driving down the highway in this desert in the daytime, and all of a sudden there's a big old pile of ice on the side of the road. Well, that's just a circumstance. Well, that's just a fluke. Whatever, do what you want, you know. My dad told a story about this minister that he was really good friends with down there in Texas. He was a driving somewhere, I forget where it was, him and his wife and their kids, and he ran out of gas one night, and he told his wife, he said, hey, lock the door, I'm just going to have to walk, try to find a gas station, come back with some gas. And so he went to get out of the car, and whenever he got out, he seen some lights pulling up. Whenever he's about to get out, he saw some lights in his rear view pulling up, and so he told his wife, lock the door whenever I get out, you know, because it middle of the night, they don't know where they're at. So he got out, she locked the door, and he just hears the voice and says, hey, are you so-and-so? He's like, what? Said, hey, are you so-and-so? What? Are you so-and-so? We got a call. What? Are you so-and-so? We got a call that you need some gas. Yeah, I need some gas. All right. Took him some gas, filled it up. He said the guy got back in his truck, drove off, and then the lights just disappeared. That they got the call. Amen. That he needs some gas. Yeah. Amen. See, whenever you live in faith, it's a different life. You don't walk around like everybody else. We might look like we walk around like everybody else, but it's just different. You just see things different. Everybody sees things as difficulties and obstacles. We see everything as opportunities. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go over this real fast. We're going to talk 1 Kings, please. 18. First Kings 18, 40. Y'all got me talking funny. All right, 41. 1 Kings 18, 41. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of what? Keep going, please. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. Is this the King James? Okay. And there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Did I skip a verse? Yeah, we did. I was like, what happened? So verse 41, it says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And then 43, it says, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. 44, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. First off, he outran a horse, and it's a king's horse, so it's not a horse that just runs 5-10 miles an hour. This horse probably runs at least 30 to 60 miles an hour.
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess a horse doesn't run 60. Maybe they do. How fast is a horse? 30. That's pretty quick for at least 20 miles. How many of y'all can do that? I will not lie about it. No, I'm playing. All right. So it's interesting that that he told his servant, hey, go up. There's a sound of abundance of rain. Correct?
Amen.
How many times did his servant go up?
Seven.
Yeah. It's amazing. Because I wonder if those few times, every time he came back down, you know, God didn't hear you this time, man. You know, I know you're believing for this, but God didn't hear you this time. Are you sure that God wants you to have this? Because it was 7 times. Right? Did he stay with it? And you know, each time he came back, Satan was trying to tell him, look, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Look, this is the 5th time he's looking. There's nothing out there. There's no rain coming. And then the 6th time, go back and look. And it's not just go back and look and then he went like this. No, there's nothing. No, he had to actually go up this mountain. So it was a hike. Quite a ways. So it wasn't just 30, 40 steps, just so everybody knows. It was quite a ways. But I wonder what Satan was saying to him the whole time, though. He'd go up and look. There'd be no clouds. Then he'd come back down. There's nothing. And I wonder what Satan was trying to tell Elijah. Look, see, there's nothing there. You thought you was a faith person. Look at you. Just falling all over your feet right now. Look, they're going to find out what kind of phony you are. You're talking about, you know what faith is. You've been speaking about rain. Now look, there ain't a cloud in the sky. Look, you've been talking about this healing stuff. You don't believe it. Look, nobody's healed. Look at your bank account. Does it really look full to you? Huh? Huh? See, and this is seven times. But he didn't allow it to affect him. See, and that's the part that we need to catch. Who cares? Who cares if we look at it and it might say negative? Thank you, God, I live in overflow. Oh, and then the next day we look at it and it says negative. See, look, your faith, you thought you was a faith person. Look, it still says negative. Thank you, God, I live in overflow and I don't live in lack. See, it's why allow Satan to talk to us? Why even allowed to have a conversation with him? If he's the father of lies, why would I want to talk to somebody that's a father of lies? Much less carry on a conversation with somebody like that. But he knew. He said, first off, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And then when he comes back, he said, look, I know it's not what you're hoping for. You know, we found you a house or we found you a car. I know it's not what you're hoping for. It's just a kind of a small one. He said, go get everybody right now. Tell them that a storm's coming. It's about to flood this entire place. You better tell the king he better get out of here. Yes. Uh-huh. See, the servant didn't see it. But whenever you're in faith, when you're looking through the eyes of faith, you see it different. Yes. See, when he is looking through the eyes of faith, he's seen just flood waters. He's seen the abundant rain, just heaven open. Right? And that's exactly what happened, ain't it? Yeah. Obviously, because he told him, he said, you better tell the king he better get out of here. He's going to get stuck. The rain is coming. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He said, well, it's just the size of a man's hand. See, he's seen something that's of no importance. Elijah's seen opportunity. That's it. It's now. Tell him to move. But it's not a cloud. You're not listening to me. It's not even the size of a man's hand way out there. Shut up. Storm's coming. I'm telling you right now. Tell the king to get out of here. Listen to me. You're talking crazy right now. Right? You're not making any sense. You're really sounding funny, okay? Let's just be honest. Stop talking like that. You don't know what you're saying. You know, your credit score is, you don't even have a credit score. All right? So what makes you think that you can just buy this house? Y'all okay this evening? Amen. But Elijah didn't allow everything that the world comes with to affect him, to get on the inside of him. He stayed with his faith, didn't he? Didn't he? Amen. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. It's going to happen regardless of what you're telling me. So if you got to go keep up, if you got to keep walking up that mountain 8,000 times, you're going to keep going up that mountain. I'm telling you right now, you're going to walk up that mountain until you see a cloud. So regardless, you might as well get it in your head, we're about to have some rain.
Amen.
See, faith sees the rain. Amen. Real fast, turn over to Mark, please, 14. Mark 14, 22. Not Mark, Matthew, sorry. Gotcha. Matthew 22. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away, multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is this a spirit?" And they cried out for what?
Fear.
All faith left. Once fear is there, faith is gone. Fear will take a place of faith. Fear will run faith right out of you. Right out. Fear brings doubt. Fear and doubt run together. And you can't have faith whenever fear and doubt are present.
Amen.
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 But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not what?"
Afraid.
So they starting to get faith again, because obviously Peter got out. And Peter said unto him, said, "Lord, if that be bid me to come on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Who walked on the water?
Peter.
Amen. But when he saw the wind, But when he saw the wind. The world is constantly bombarding us with doubt and unbelief based on all the natural facts. If we are not purposeful to build our faith over the course of time, then we will begin to accept our five physical senses as truth. But when he saw, Amen. But when he saw, he started out in faith, didn't he?
Yes.
Obviously, because he got out the boat in a storm.
Amen.
Is there a storm going?
Yes.
It's not peaceful water. Do y'all understand that?
Yes.
Have you ever been on the water in a storm?
Yes.
Have you ever tried to walk on a boat in a storm?
Yeah.
It's pretty not easy, yes. Kind of not very fun. But Peter gets out of the boat and is walking to Jesus. But then, while he's strolling along, and I wonder if the same thing was happening to the Shunammite woman. Because she's walking along, she's going along to find Elijah, right?
Yes.
And she's going. And I wonder if all these thoughts and things are bombarding her. He's dead. Your son's dead. He ain't coming back to life. I don't even know why you're going over there to talk to him. He doesn't care about what you got to say. Why would you go mess with him? He's got other things to do. He's probably talking to somebody else right now. Matter of fact, he probably won't even see you. And then Peter, he's out of the water. He's like, "Yeah, hey, how you doing, Jesus?" And then all of a sudden, something catches his attention. But man, that's a big wave. Man, my leg's kind of hurting lately. Man, God, I thought I had money in my account. What happened? And then we start allowing these things to just kindly, slowly take away bits of our faith. And it's just slowly picking at us. And we don't realize it because it's not, Satan just doesn't come along and just hit you with a sledgehammer. Just boom and knock you out. It's just little things, just boom. Because first off, you know, we talked about it before, because it says Peter, when he was afraid and beginning to sink, right? Me, I've never began to sink. I've sank. I jumped in the water, straight in. I never jumped in the water and just went, jumped in and was like, hey, everybody, how y'all doing? What's up? I'll be in the water in a minute. Never, not one time has that ever happened to me. Not one time. Anybody else? All right. So beginning to sink. So obviously his faith was being taken at levels. So obviously whenever that starts happening, we should be able to recognize that. Right? Shouldn't we? And so then we should be able to adjust accordingly, correct? In the military, it's called adjust fire and then fire for effect and splash out. Whenever you call in for fire, we'd give them a grid and we'd tell them where we wanted them to shoot at. And so they'd shoot and we'd tell them, you know, if they was off target, we'd tell them to either adjust right or left or adjust up, you know, 50 meters or south 50 meters or whatever. And then that's just how we'd get them on target. We'd tell them to adjust, bring it left, bring it right, bring it up 100 meters, bring it south 100 meters, whatever. But we'd dial it in to get it right in place, right? The same thing with our faith. If we're seeing ourselves, like Brother Hagin said, if I hang one more thing on my faith, it's going to bust. And it's so minute of curtains. Like that's not a big deal. But yet it is a big deal. Because see, if he would have hung those curtains on there, then he would have lost all of it. It wouldn't have just been the curtains, but everything that he was believing God for, he would have lost all of it. Because he'd have been overstepping his faith. Correct?
Yes, sir.
And so sometimes that's what happens. We start believing God and we're starting to feel good about it. And we're like, man, we hitting this faith wide open. And so we just keep adding stuff to our faith and not even realizing it. And then we're just overloading our faith. And then we just overload it so much to where it just bloom and bottom falls out. And we just go, man, we just lost everything. What? I thought this faith stuff worked. And we don't pay attention to it. You just kind of go at it, but know where you're stretching your faith at and know your limit of your faith. Know where you're just like, I'll tell you this, whenever you start believing God for something and your joy and your peace start messing up a little bit, you're at the end of your faith. All right? Whenever your joy and peace are kind of being, you're at the end of your faith. All right? That's how you know when you're at the end of your faith, your joy and peace. Okay? Amen. Well, did y'all get anything out of that? So, but I wanted y'all to see the difference between Elijah and Peter there. Right? He came back to him seven times. Seven times. Nothing. Nothing in the sky. Nothing. 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 And Peter got out of the boat. And stuff started hitting him, but then he allowed something to grab a hold of his attention.
That's right.
Right? Elijah, he stuck with it. Regardless, look, sound abundance, rain's coming, go find the cloud. Even though he kept coming back, you're crazy. There's nothing. If you tell me to go up this mountain one more time, I'm going to kill you. Go back up the mountain, whatever. Right? But I just wanted y'all to see the difference between them. Amen? Any of y'all get any help?
Yes.
Amen. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. And we thank you, Father. I forgot to pray before I started tonight. Man, y'all remind me next time. Holy Ghost, remind me of that. And I'm sorry, Father God, because I don't like doing that. I do like to pray before I minister. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father God, for your word this evening. Thank you for your truths, Father God. And I thank you for this message tonight. I thank you, Father God, it extremely helped me immensely, Father God. Thank you. Thank you for showing me more truths about faith. Hallelujah. And bringing things out of me that I ain't even heard yet. So, Father God, I thank you. I'll just continue to chew on them and meditate on them and grow in them. And I won't allow Satan to come and steal them immediately. But I'll just continue to grow in them. I'll continue to grow in them and meditate on them and to study them, Father God. I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed, said.
Amen.
Amen. We will see y'all Sunday.